I'm here with Dr. Raymond Townsend from the Spiral Hypertension Studies. Dr. Townsend, could you please briefly start by introducing yourself?
Sure, Nick. I'm a kidney doctor at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, and my day job is to manage the high blood pressure program at the university.
Okay, and could you please briefly describe the Spiral Hypertension Studies?
Sure. The word spiral is the designation for the type of catheter that's used in these studies. Our goal is to determine whether or not you can use an approach like having a heart cath, but it's more a kidney cath, and have a catheter placed in each of your kidney arteries, have a bit of a radio frequency energy delivered there, and that will in turn damage the nerves around the outside of the kidney artery, and we're hoping that it will lower blood pressure as a result of that. There are two approaches. One is to see how well it works in patients who don't take any medication at all, and one is to see how well it works in people who are on blood pressure medications. So our goal is to see, does it work, in whom, and does medication modify it?
What might we learn from these studies?
We might learn the role of an alternative approach, but not yoga or lifestyle measures or things like that. Up till now, blood pressure has typically been treated with, watch your salt, exercise a little bit more, lose a little weight, and take a blood pressure tablet or capsule, or in many cases, several of those. What we would like to determine from this is whether or not there is a place for a device-based intervention. One time and you're done, and we think it lasts for years based on the preliminary experience. So what we're hoping to learn from these studies are, in people with high blood pressure, does the use of a catheter that delivers a little bit of energy in the kidney arteries, both sides, does it effectively lower blood pressure and for how long?
What impact could these learnings have on individuals in the future?
Couple of things. There is some new evidence that suggests that our goal blood pressure in the clinic might be ratcheted downward, and that may mean either using more medication to get people with high blood pressure to even lower values, or consideration of a complement or a partner, if you will, to blood pressure medication, and that would be something like using a device to lower blood pressure. And in that situation, there are some people too where they just, for one reason or another, don't tolerate medication well. And so our goal in the off meds, no medication involved here, is to determine how well this catheter on its own lowers blood pressure. Because there are some people who just don't take blood pressure medicines because they make them feel bad. And maybe this might be useful in them.
Is there any potential impact that might have on society at large in the future?
Well, we know that high blood pressure around the world is the leading risk factor for premature death and for living with disability if you have a stroke or heart failure or some other consequence from high blood pressure. So our mandate for the last 60 years or so, after the first studies demonstrating benefit by reducing blood pressure, has been to get those numbers down. We have a large number of medications, but there's still some people where a bit of extra help from perhaps a device like this may be what gets them over the goal line.
What kind of people are needed to make this research possible?
So people with high blood pressure who have two kidneys and who are willing to basically follow the rules for a period of time. If you're in the off meds protocol, so no medication involved, we randomize people. One person out of two gets the procedure. One person out of two goes through all the trappings of it, but doesn't actually have the catheter turned on because we need to test it against everything except using the actual radio frequency, the energy that causes the effect. And our greatest need is for people who are willing to follow directions. We will carefully follow people's blood pressure throughout this, and we screen them effectively to make sure that the period of time that they are enrolled in a trial like this would not be injurious to their health. But the people we're looking for are people who have high blood pressure, willing to follow directions, and willing to put themselves under our care for 6 months or so during the actual trial phase of this. After that, everybody's treated pretty much the same.
What would a participant in these studies need to do?
So the basic thing they need to do is to follow directions. If you take blood pressure medications, we need to be sure you're taking them as directed and not taking extra ones, or not saying that you take three blood pressure medicines when in reality you take two, but your chart says three, and so you say three because you think that's the right answer to give. We just really need people who are honest and willing to follow directions. And we have criteria, specific criteria, for what we think are safe levels of blood pressure to evaluate in a trial like this. And so that's part of the screening visit to determine eligibility.
Are there any possible benefits or compensation for people who participate?
Well, we realize people's time is valuable, and that visits typically, you know, you're going to lose an hour or two from work. And one of the things we do ask our trial participants to do is to wear a blood pressure monitor for 24 hours at different points in the study. So we do reimburse them for their time and participation. At the end of, say, a 6 or 12 month period, it amounts to several hundred dollars. But it's not a way to, you know, put a retirement nest egg together. On the other hand, we don't, you know, exactly ask people to do this out of the goodness of their heart. We recognize their time is valuable.
Are there any common questions that people have when they're considering whether to participate in these studies?
So some people are worried that, well, maybe my doctor might not want me to do this, and we're always glad to contact physicians and discuss trial participation, the pros and the cons, with them. We screen very carefully for people who should not participate in a trial like this, a recent heart attack, a recent stroke, or, you know, a problem with cocaine or whatever. I mean, there's lots of things that are red flags for someone that where safety will be an issue, and we would not want to jeopardize anyone's safety, so we would be cautious in that regard. Most of the questions have to do with, well, what if my blood pressure is high when I'm at home and not in the office? And we have ways to manage that. And so the protocol has been pretty well developed to kind of cover all the certainties and uncertainties that we can think of in terms of what might happen to someone participating in this kind of research.
Dr. Townsend, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yes, I think that the thing that most weighs on our minds is whether or not, and to what degree, these approaches, and this is, you know, Medtronic is one company, Spiral is one type of catheter, but there are others as well, and the field is still kind of waiting to see whether or not this kind of technology in its infancy form here will really make a difference in outpatient care ultimately and management of high blood pressure. It's an important and exciting question, and I'm glad to be part of the effort to try and address this.
Dr. Raymond Townsend, thank you very much.